go. So this morning, I have the privilege of sharing with you. But if we can help in any way, I think there might be a QR code up on the screen. That's it, we're all 21st century now, aren't we? So if you hover your camera over that, it will take you to what is called a link tree. My friend calls it a link forest because there's so many links on there. But that will take you to a bunch of links, all the things that you need to find out Elim Prayer, to connect with us online, to look at the resources. All of the resources in that sense are free online. So please, it will take you to all the different options on there. So please look out for that or come and speak to me. At the end, I also have sweets. I'm just putting that out there. But you're only allowed a sweet if you take a prayer prompt. So, you know, I don't mind what it takes. Anyway, let's get to it. So this morning, I want to kind of talk to us about this idea of resisting the rush. And to help us think about what that means, I want to tell you a bit of a story. So if we go to the next slide, Vicky, please. Thank you. Vicky, you're doing a great job. Appreciate your help this morning. She was like, do you want to do it? And I was like, no, please help me. So this time last week, I was traveling from where I live now in Birmingham to Wales. My best friend's husband had arranged a surprise birthday meal for her, and we were all convening in Cardiff. Lovely. All right, let's go. But so the problem was that I didn't quite give myself enough time. So I left a bit later than I planned, and then I was really busy packing the car. Ian and Jill were like, it looks like you've been on the road for weeks, you've been living out of your car. I was like, yeah, I'm on the road for a few weeks, let's pack everything into my car. Then I realized there wasn't enough fuel in the car, so all of this added time. Needless to say, I was running quite late by the time I was heading out of Birmingham. And then, to make matters a little bit worse, I'd left no margin for traffic. Anyone identify with any of this? And there was traffic, because obviously loads of people want to get into Wales, obvs. So I came across the bridge and I was like, oh, I'm going to be here a while. We don't even have to pay to get in anymore, and still there's traffic to get across the bridge. So I was a little bit kind of worried, and I was using my hands free. I was driving safely. I was sticking, you know, for the benefit of the people who are watching online. I was on, you know, I was doing it safely, and anyone who might be listening. But I had a phone call from a best friend's husband to go, how long are you going to be? And I was like, I'm going to be about half an hour late. We were going to a very fancy restaurant. One of the ones where you all try little bits of food at the same time. So they are all waiting on me. So I am now feeling this hustle, this pressure, this rush that all of my friends are sitting there. The surprise is ruined because they all know they're waiting for me. And so I parked in a car park that I wouldn't normally park in Cardiff for a couple of reasons. One, it's like super expensive and costs almost as much as the meal. And two, they got really small car parking bays. But I was the one that was closest to the restaurant, and I was in a rush and I was feeling really hustled. And I was like, right, so I just parked in there. Great, got a bay, locked, ran to the restaurant. Literally as I sat in my seat, the first course came. Beautiful, lovely evening. You think, oh, right, great, she's done a good job. Thanks, everyone. Until it came to say goodbye to everyone and to leave, and I get back to the car park. In my rushing, I had not paid attention. I had not made wise choices. I get to the car park, I can't work out how to get back into the car park, because I hadn't paid attention as I'd flung myself out of the car and ran down the street towards the restaurant. So it took me a little bit of a while. There's a fancy touch screen. Thank you very much. Thank you, please. So eventually I find it, and then they're like, we need you to put your car registration in. Great. I'm driving my friend's car. I wonder what the registration might be to let me back in the building. So anyway, navigated that. Great. In. Paid my dues. Cried a little bit because it was so expensive. And then I couldn't get out of where you had to pay to get to my car. So I'm walking up and down the stairs, up and down the stairs. And in the back of my mind, the thing has said, you have 10 minutes to exit the car park. You know, like the doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-boo in my head, this is playing. I get to my car, and the car that has parked next to me means that I can now not get in the car. It wasn't their fault. The bays are tiny. So the cold sweat begins. Anyone had this moment? I do a big sigh because apparently that helps. It didn't really help. I'm walking around the car. I'm thinking 8 minutes have gone, 2 minutes have gone, 3 minutes have gone. Like, I've got a few minutes to get out of this car. What happens if I don't leave the car? But am I stuck in there forever? Do I just live in Cardiff now? I don't know. But I try. I'm like, do you know what? I know I've just eaten a big meal. I reckon I can wriggle into that front seat. So I like push my car door open without damaging the car next to me. And I'm trying to wriggle in. No chance. Then I go to this passenger side and it's against a pillar. No chance. My car is genuinely full of so much stuff. And I'm like, I don't think I've got the energy to lift the boot, unload everything, get in the car, move it, reload everything. So I'm like, I can't, that's not an option. And so my only option is the passenger seat at the back of the car. 5 minutes left now. Okay. Mission Impossible theme tune in my head. Dun, 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 dun. So I get into the back of the car. Great! Can't drive the car from the back of the car. So we are going to have to figure out how to get from the back seat of the car on the passenger side across to the driver's side on the right side. And I'm sat there thinking, I'm not the most flexible and maybe not the most fit I've ever been in my life at this particular moment. I reckon I could do this. So asking Jesus for help. I lean over, I get one leg in the driver's side, but I need the other half of my body to join it. And let me say, if there was any candid camera, I'm going to be on some, like, You've Been Framed or something at some point. I was sweating, crying, praying. I was like, oh, please help me. So I'm trying to get this leg to join this leg in the front so I can drive out. The time is ticking. I got 4 minutes left. I got 3 minutes left. Eventually, I just managed to, I don't even know how, like maneuver my leg in such a way that it came and joined the rest of my body. Then I had a 20 park, you know, like 3-point turns? No, 20 point turn to get out because it was so tight. And I'm like reversing out. I'm literally 2 minutes left, 1 minute left. I safely bomb out of the car park. Freedom is mine. Why am I telling you this story? Not just because you think I'm an idiot, I know. Or she could have done it. Because what happens when we're rushing is we don't pay attention and we don't make wise choices. And I think we live in a world that is continually hustling us. Not like your good side hustle that gets you a bit of extra money, but you know, that internal world hustle, that rush that we can feel at times. I think we can feel overcommitted or overscheduled or overburdened or over busy minds. I think we can be in situations or surroundings that feel like they're hurrying us. Or maybe it's the messaging we hear on socials or a mind that won't switch off. Or other small humans or older humans that need our help and support. Or traffic or a never-ending to-do list or life admin. If you like life admin, please help me understand how to do that. I think we live in a world where whether we feel like we're busy or we feel like we're bored, that there's this false pressure that we live in that is constantly and consistently encouraging us to hustle and to rush, whether we're busy or not. I feel sometimes it's hard to pay attention and we can barrel through life, myself included, or we can feel like life is barreling at us. So this morning, with our time left that we've got together, I want us to explore, what does it look like to resist the rush? How can we be a people following Jesus who are resisting the rush? Who are invited into this praying and listening and acting in a non-stop world? So we're going to look at a brief window into the way that Jesus lived, and then we're going to think about how we can apply this to our lives in the boring and the brutal and the brilliant of every day. So Mark chapter 1, I want to encourage you to get your Bible open or on a device. Don't worry about the words on there. They haven't quite come across as we've saved them this morning. So I'll be reading that for us. Mark chapter 1, I'm just going to read from verse 32 down to 39. It says, that evening after sunset, many sick and demon-possessed people were brought to Jesus. The whole town gathered at the door to watch. Talk about being busy. So Jesus healed many people who were sick with various diseases, and he cast out many demons. But because the demons knew who he was, he didn't allow them to speak. That's a sermon for another day. Speak to your pastor after. This is the bit I want to think about. Verse 35. Before daybreak the next morning, Jesus got up and went out to an isolated place to pray. Later, Simon and the others, Jesus' team, went out to find him. When they found him, they said, everyone's looking for you. Have you ever had that moment? Where have you been? What are you doing? We need you. Come on. Everyone's looking for you. Jesus replied, verse 38, but we must go on to other towns as well. And I will preach to them too. That is why I came. So we traveled throughout the region of Galilee, preaching in the synagogues and casting out demons. So what's going on here? It's this sort of summary sentences at the end of Mark's account of the life of Jesus. And they tell us so much. They tell us what Jesus had been doing. They tell us that Jesus pauses to pray. And then they tell us what Jesus went on to do. Jesus, who's had an extended time of preparation in the wilderness, facing and overcoming temptation. He's been baptized by John the Baptist and had the affirmation of the Father and the Spirit. I love it, before he does anything. Identity before activity. That's a sermon for another day. So he's got this sense that he knows what he's called to. He knows that time is coming. He knows it's ready. And he's starting to gather the band together. Do you know what I mean? He's starting to preach and teach about the kingdom, to demonstrate the kingdom, to help people to know God in a way that they haven't known God before. Healing and deliverance and life-changing preaching. And what's happening? People are starting to notice. A crowd is gathering. It says that the whole town, can you imagine? Coming to the door here and the whole of Neath just sort of peering in, having a little look at what Jesus was doing. The whole town gathering to watch. Momentum is building. Demand is rising. So what does Jesus do? Does he get his strategic team together and plan the next thing? Has he got the marketing peeps? Is he trying to work out who goes where and all the traveling arrangements? No. What does he do? He withdraws to a quiet, isolated, deserted, solitary place. Solitude, stillness, and quiet. Why? To be with the Father. Space to stop, resisting the rush, pausing to pray, listen, and act. And you find this practice of Jesus, this praying and listening and acting, all through the gospel accounts. If you start to look at it, Luke is particularly good at drawing our attention to these. So what does it look like then to be inspired by Jesus's resisting the rush? How can we become more like Jesus? That's the call of every disciple, right? That we become more like Jesus and we join in with his mission and his ministry on the earth. So if we look to Jesus, we can be inspired by him to go, oh, what would that look like in my life? So let's think about those three things. Pray, listen, and act. Pray. Jesus was intentional about prayer. Jesus is God. This honestly, every time I talk about this and think about this, I'm amazed. Jesus is God, and yet he chooses to connect with the Father through prayer. What? Yeah. Like, that he would go, like, he is God, and yet he prioritizes that relationship with the Father and with the Spirit. And that looked like, on this occasion, him choosing a time and a place whilst they're on the go. This is a regular practice for him, to make time and find space to connect in prayer. Tells us that he went early the next morning and he went to an isolated place. Now, when we read words like isolated place or wilderness, perhaps with our thinking, we go, oh, that's a bit scary. But actually what it meant was a quiet place to encounter God. If you look at wilderness places all through the sweep of the Bible, you'll see that those are the places of deep encounters with God. And so Jesus is going to a place that is isolated, this solitude, this stillness, this silence, to be with the Father, to encounter God. He's expecting to be with the Father. There's a stillness about it, a solitude. Rather than getting on with the next thing to do, he sees this margin moment and he makes the most of it. So as we think about what it looks like to resist the rush and to pray and listen and act, maybe we can think about how we're being intentional as we pray. I think there's an intentionality and a frequency that we can learn from in this ongoing life of prayer that Jesus has with the Father. So what would that look like to us? What are our margin moments that we can go, do you know what? I might not be able to get up at 4 a.m. and go up a mountain or a hill to pray. The Spirit might be asking you to do that, so be obedient. But, you know, but do I have 30 seconds in between something? Do I have 3 minutes? Do I have 5 minutes here? Instead of scrolling on my phone, or instead of doing the next thing to do, instead of feeling that false pressure of time and rush and hustle, can I stop? Can I pause? Can I pray? Can I listen? And then can I continue? Because Jesus' praying and listening wasn't at the expense of acting, but it was to give him more purpose in his action. So whether we're on the bus to work, or we've got a lunch break over a cuppa, or as you're doing the dishes, or as a reflection at the end of the day, how can you be intentional about connecting with God in prayer? So often the busyness and the urgent take over. Everyone's looking for you, they said. Like, you're needed, you're wanted, someone needs your attention. But Jesus prioritizes solitude and stillness and prayer, listening prayer, before acting again. Was he recharging his batteries? Was he getting confirmation of the next steps from the Father? Was he resting from the sensory overload of the busy few days? Probably, and more. But we see that he made it a practice, an intention. Because the reality is, life will come at you. But we get to choose how we respond in those things. Yeah. We get to choose that. And I wonder if we could learn from Jesus and hear that Jesus himself prioritized that, made that an intention. And for him, it looked like this. It might not look like that for you. Where's your margin moments? On the go, in the busyness of life. Where do you need to withdraw? Even if it's only in your internal world, you're still physically present to people, but to connect with the Father, to hear his affirmation, to sense the Spirit's wisdom. So he prays and then he listens. We know he listens because he comes out with a clarity of what to do next. Everyone's looking for you. In other words, Luke, in his kind of description of this in Luke 4, he describes it like they want more of what you've got, Jesus. Come on. They want more, you know, they want more. And he's like, no, no, no. There's a sense of clarity. He's like, I've got to go and preach the good news of the kingdom elsewhere. He's like, it would be so easy to stay in this moment that seems exciting and beautiful and brilliant and people are being healed and set free. And it's like, come on, Jesus, this is it. And he's like, no, no, I've got to move to the next thing. How does he have the confidence and the courage to not stay? He's fully human and fully God. But how does he have the courage and confidence and clarity to not stay? Because he's been listening. Listening. He says, we must go on to other towns as well. I'll preach to them too. That is why I came. Imagine you were Jesus. A crowd has been attracted. The momentum is building. They want you to stay and continue. You've gone viral on socials. TikTok are calling you. Come on. And you're going to know there's a sense of clarity to move on from that moment, to know that it's the right next thing to do, a clear sense of why he's there and what he is to do. This comes after praying and listening. We don't know how long Jesus was there. So they were looking for him. So he might have been there a couple of hours. He might have been there a few minutes. We don't know the amount of time. But I think it's that willingness to leave the crowd behind, to leave the valid, busy needs of his team, to step into a space to hear from God. Yeah. You know, it's great that we get to talk to God, but I wonder how often are we stopping to listen? And I speak into my own soul in this. I'm not here as an expert. I am a practitioner too. And so whenever I share on these kinds of things, it feels like I'm speaking to my own soul. How often are we listening for his ways and his words and his wisdom and his will for us? I think we can get disappointed so often in prayer because we can come with a shopping list of requests rather than space to be in relationship. Or we think we've got to carve out hours at a time before God will speak, or we've got to have every situational surrounding be the optimal moment, rather than recognizing that on the go, we can become more and more aware, and we've been singing it this morning, of his presence. Holy Spirit is with us and within us. Isn't that good news? Yeah. It's not like, oh, we're just checking with him every Sunday. Oh, it's great. Wherever we are, whatever we're doing, we can be praying and listening and then responding with our actions, joining in with what the Spirit is doing and what the Spirit is inviting us. He's our guide and our advocate and our counselor. He helps to lead us into all truth. So why sometimes do we as human beings think that we know the truth better? Because we do. And there's no shame or guilt or condemnation in that. Just an awareness of, oh God, I have been making some decisions and I haven't been listening to what you wanted to say about that. I'm sorry. Would you help me now? Would you bring me your wisdom? Would you show me your will in this? This means we can talk and listen to God anywhere and everywhere. So I'm a big encourager of finding uninterrupted time and space to be with God. But depending on your age and stage of life, that might be more or less difficult for you. It's not about the amount of time, but I'm also a really big encourager of becoming more aware of God's presence in the everyday rush and hustle of life. It's not a either or. I either have all this uninterrupted time or I talk to God as I'm on the go. I think it's a both and. And you see that in the life of Jesus. And you see that in the life of the disciples of that team, because as you read through their story in the book of Acts, you see that they prioritize praying and listening and acting. They've learned something from Jesus. He's the one we're imitating. He's the one we want to become like. Yeah. And then they live that out. And then what does he do? Pray, listen, and act. He's resisting the rush. He's resisting the urgent, the busy. He's resisting everybody else's expectations. He engages again in activity. Prayer and listening to help us in our purpose, not at the expense of it. Yeah. But what does he do? It's not based on what people want. How often do we as human beings say yes to things because of what people want, and it isn't necessarily what we feel we should be doing or saying yes to? I wonder if resisting the rush looks like 30 seconds to pray, listen, and act before I give a yes or a no to something. Or maybe I've said no to helping out something because I don't feel I've got what it takes or I've got anything to offer. Maybe we make a margin moment for 3 minutes and we pray and we listen and then we act in faithful obedience to what Jesus is inviting us into. I wonder what it would look like if we all are able to say, hey, I want to grow in this. I'm living this way already, Jesus, but help me to grow. Help me to expand. Help me to deepen. Help me to pan for more nuggets of gold in you. What else is there? How can I grow in this? He doesn't make his decisions based on what people want or what seems likely or even what is practical. It would have been practical to stay. Let's set up shop. The story is that it was near family, one of the team's family, Peter's family. Great, we've got access, we've got resources, we've got somewhere to stay. Jesus is like, no, come on the road. There's more to do. There's the next thing to do. It would be practical to stay there. But Jesus engages in activity on the purpose for which he came, to show people God.
Yes.
His mission, his ministry. And the same is true for us. In our work life, in our home lives, in our hobbies lives, as we're on holidays, as we're gathered in community, as we're, whatever we're doing, wherever we're going, with strangers and people that we know and love, we get to reflect Jesus to them. We get to point them to God. And this is what Jesus is saying he's all about here. He's centered and clear. He has a confidence in what to do next. And he does it in step with the Spirit's pace. So he traveled throughout the region of Galilee, preaching in the synagogues and casting out demons. This catalyst moment, as Jesus brings the band together, he's prayerfully and intentionally choosing his disciples to join him for the kingdom tour. Men and women invited to partner with what God is doing.
Yeah.
He's doing the same today, in our day, in our moment. He's inviting us to be a part of what he's doing in the kingdom, to join in with his activity. Not just with our good ideas, which might be brilliant, but what is the thing that God's asking of me? How am I talking to him, praying? How am I listening? And how am I then acting in order to resist the rush? Jesus is a praying Messiah. He is in constant communication with the Father. He resists the rush. He follows the Father. And what's so beautiful is he is still able to fulfill all that the Spirit leads him into. And I wonder if Jesus made space and time for this, and if the disciples did this, then perhaps we could think about what that looks like in our lives too. I think as Jesus followers, we're invited into a way of holy resistance. Do you want to say that with me? Holy resistance to this internal and external hustle and pressure, resisting the rush. And instead, responding to God's invitation to pray and listen and act in a non-stop world. So how can you begin to pause, to slow and center your life on Jesus through the day? It may be that you need to get up at 4 a.m. and walk up a hill to pray, or it might be that you can make the most of the margins. How can you redeem those moments? What does solitude and silence and stillness look like for you? How can you pause to pray and listen and act? And you may find yourself thinking, oh yes, Sarah, that's wonderful. Great, sign me up. Or you might be going, Sarah, you don't know me. I'm an activist. I gotta get going, man. I gotta get into it. Or you might be somewhere in between both of those. I would identify much more with the activist type personality. Let's go, come on, what's next? I love it. I love life. I genuinely do love life. And I love being about the things that God is doing and inviting me into. But I have learned, if I want my soul to grow, if I want a sense of following where the Spirit is leading, I can't do that if I'm always rushing, externally or internally. We don't pay attention and we don't make good choices as a general rule. Yeah. I've had to learn how to be still. Oh, I find that so hard. Give me a little wave if you're like, do you know what? Silence and solitude is my jam. Oh, you're loving this. Give me a wave if you're like, I'm going to have to relearn how to do this. Give me a wave if you're not quite entirely sure what I'm talking about. Oh, that was too many of you. Thanks very much. Watch your back. It'll make more sense. Talk to Pastor Ian. It's fine. But I've had to learn. I've had to learn how to do that. That doesn't come naturally to me. It will be more natural for some than others. I've had to learn to be still and silent and in solitude on my own. There's something about letting everything else settle in your mind and your heart and your body and becoming present to the presence of God. And this isn't only available to those who have hours to spend, but it can happen in these margin moments, these 3 minutes in between all the things of life. And it can feel a bit confronting. So I don't want to kind of be like, yeah, just start it and off you go. It might be quite difficult for some people to get into this. We have been doing this in our church community. I am also based in a church in Birmingham. And when we first started doing this a couple of years ago, so many people would come in and they would say, Sarah, this is really hard. I'd be like, I know, because we live in a nonstop world. It isn't natural in our world. And then they would go, do you know what? I can't remember the last time I was silent, let alone silent with God. And as I made those 3 minutes to pause, to pray and listen and act, I suddenly realized I was full of anxiety, or I was full of concern, or I was full of fear. Or I heard the invitation of God. He's been trying to get my attention about joining in with this thing. And I said, eventually heard it and said yes. And this amazing thing happened. So there's something about this pausing, this resisting the rush of our internal and external worlds. If the invitation to follow Jesus is to become more like Jesus and reflect him to others, then we can't do that if we don't live with reflecting on who we're becoming and what we're called to do. So listening prayer is this practice that helps us to become present to God and ourselves. Repurposing the margin. Instead of to-do lists or scrolling on devices, I wonder what it would look like this week if every time you go to pick up your phone to scroll, or your smart device, or every time you go to like turn on the TV to fill the silence, or you're at the traffic lights and you're kind of, whatever it is, these little moments when you're doing the dishes. This is one of my prayer practices. When I do the dishes, I try and pray. It's one of the only places I'm still long enough. I'm like, okay, as I'm doing the dishes, that's my chore in the household, one of them. And so I'm like doing it and I'm talking to Jesus. Where have I noticed you today, God? Where have I not noticed you? Who do you want me to talk to you about? How can I respond to what you're inviting me into? How am I paying attention to what you've been saying to me through your word? Oh yeah, I remember that thing. And we listen with this responsiveness, this posture of our heart to say, what do you want, Jesus? How are you leading? How can my attention come to the eternal things and not just the most urgent or seemingly most important thing that wants your attention? To pray, listen, and act, make space for the wisdom of God. I need that. I need the wisdom of God. I don't know what to do in every situation. I don't know all of the things. And if you're interested in doing a big, deep dive on some of these things, this is a shameless plug now. We've got a podcast called Around the Fire. You can find the Around the Fire podcast. There's a whole year's worth of series on there called Soul Path. Myself and my colleague in Birmingham, we unpack a bunch of this stuff if you're interested in finding out more. But I want us to have a little go today to find our way to take 3 minutes to pray, listen, and act. So we're going to go to the next slide. I can talk to you a bit more about the podcast at the end if that's helpful. This is where your little egg timers are required. I'm going to explain it first, and then we're going to have a little practice, and I'm going to pray for us and hand back to Ian. Okay, these are 1 minute sand timers. Now, the reason I've given you all one of these rather than getting you to get your smart device out is because I find if I put a timer on my smart device, before I know it, I've been on Facebook for 10 minutes, or I've answered 13 emails, or I've written a sermon in my notes, or, you know, or I've responded to that message that I forgot to do, or I've bought that thing online that I meant to buy last week and it is coming up. So I try not to use my device. Devices are not wrong or evil, but I know myself, and I know that if I pick it up for that purpose, I will be distracted. So this is why I use one of these. And we encourage our community. Now, you might have a very fancy one at home. It's all yours. But this one is yours to take away. The 1 minute. And so what we've been trying to encourage people to do is find 3 minutes through your day, maybe multiple times through the day. You turn the sound timer over once, and that's 1 minute to pray. Just talk to Jesus. What bubbles up? What rises to the surface? What is on your mind and in your heart and in your thinking? And your mind will wander and your mind will think about 25 million other things. That's okay. We're human. You can just let those things pass by and then you come back to be consciously aware of the presence of God. 1 minute to pray. Then you turn it back over. 1 minute to listen. This is the harder thing for many of us. Is there anything the Spirit wants to say? Is there anything that God's reminding me of? Not the to-do list. If you have a to-do thing and you feel like you need to just write it down on a piece of paper and come back to that moment. What are you saying? Do you want to affirm something in me, God? Do you want to ask me a question? Do you want to remind me of some truth in your word? How do we recognize his voice? Well, if the voice that we're hearing feels loving and inspirational and wise and kind and healing, then it's probably God. If we hear a voice that feels destructive or accusing or condemning or tempting, it's probably the enemy. If we hear a voice that is reasoning or ego-inflating or justifying or maybe overly negative, it's probably our false self, the old us, the unredeemed parts. So we take 1 minute to pray, 1 minute to listen, and then we turn it over for the final minute and we reflect, what is the invitation of the Spirit to act? The invitation might be, do less. The invitation might be, remember to call that person. The invitation might be, here's this thing, here's an answer to something that you've been trying to wrestle through. The invitation might simply be, carry on with the rest of your day. It's been great to have these 3 minutes with you. Take me with you as you go. And you can do this for as long as you want or as short as you want. I just find that it's a really helpful thing. The sand timer just helps me to do that. It might not be that it helps you, please. I'm not trying to tell you you've all got to do this, but this might be a helpful practice for you to pray, listen, and act. Resisting the rush, being able to walk in step with the Spirit. I found this to be so, so helpful. And I need to keep reminding myself. It's not like, bossed it. Oh, yeah. I've got to keep coming back again and again and again. And there's no shame or guilt or condemnation from God. It's simply an invitation. That's okay, Sarah, come back. I'm with you always. It's our attention that wavers. We don't need to jump through hoops to come back. We simply turn our attention back to him. We become aware of his presence with us and within us by his Spirit. So, 3 minutes. If you're at home and online, I'm going to turn this. I think we might have a few spare ones here to get a hold of. If you want to get a hold of that. And then I'm going to just lead us through this over the next few minutes. So if you would like to have a go, I'm not forcing anyone. If you'd like to have a go, I'm going to turn the timer. And I'm going to encourage us to do that. But just while we start, why don't we maybe, if you're able to close your eyes, it's safe to do so. Particularly if you're watching online, you're driving, don't do that. But just breathe deeply in. Let the thoughts come and go. It's okay if your mind is full. It's okay if you're thinking of lots of things. Maybe just try and bring your awareness to the presence of the Spirit. Okay. Now 1 minute, talk to Jesus. What comes to the surface? Is it a concern or a praise or a need? Is it thanksgiving? Is it a question? Okay, turn the time over again. This time, we're listening. What is the Spirit saying? Try not to analyze, but simply to receive. Is it encouragement? Is it a question from God? Is it scripture? Is it an answer? Is it an invitation? Okay, now I'm turning it over for the final minute. And at this point, you're reflecting. Is there something God's asking you to do in response? Is there a specific action? Is it along a theme? Do you need to make a note of it somehow? Jesus, thank you for the invitation to resist the rush, whether that's in our internal world or our situation or our surroundings that we find ourselves in. Thank you that we can walk in step with you and at your pace. Help us, Spirit of God, to resist the rush, to resist that false pressure that our culture is seeped in. More, bigger, better, next. Don't stop, don't rest. Lord, would you help us to slow and center our lives in you and on you? Jesus, would you help us to spot those margin moments where we can take 3 minutes, 30 seconds to pray, listen, and act, becoming consciously aware of your presence, of your invitation, of your affirmation. Holy Spirit, would you help us? As we follow you with a desire to become more like you, Jesus, and join in with your mission and your ministry here on earth. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. One of the things I would encourage you to do, if you feel safe to do so, maybe you can share with somebody else in community, in church, like, what did you sense or notice or feel or hear while you were doing that? For some of you, that might have been super helpful. For others, you're not quite sure. That's absolutely okay. Who can you maybe connect with and encourage through the week? Hey, have you taken your egg timer out this week? And I wonder if every time you encounter rush this week, whether that's on your phone when you look at the time, or whether that's on your watch, or whether that's asking Alexa, who shall not be named, or whether that's a clock in your home or a ticking sound, whenever you become aware of rush, I wonder if that becomes an invitation of the Spirit to pause. You might not have your timer. You can get to a point where you don't need it necessarily. This is just to kind of help us to get going with it. It becomes this internal practice to pause, to pray, to listen, and to act in a non-stop world. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. Appreciate you.